The ground of increase. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the Bible reads like this. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Bible said, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you would set me to the side. Anoint me once again at this 11 o'clock service that I may speak your word, God. I pray that your word would fall on good ground here today, that it will produce the harvest that it was always intended to produce. Father, rebuke the enemy. I rebuke distraction. I rebuke anything that's going to hinder your word here today. Father, we want clarity in your word. We want freedom in your word. So, Father, we pray that you be with us in the next few moments. In the name of Jesus, everyone says, we find the apostles here in Luke 17, verse 5, in a place that they were asking the Lord for increase. Have you ever asked the Lord for increase in your life? Or have you ever been in a position where you needed increase, right? You ever been in a place where you just didn't have enough and you needed more, right? And this is where we find the disciples. We find them in a place of need. We find them in a place that they needed something from the Lord. And what they needed was more faith. Somebody say faith. Come on, say it with me. Say faith. What they needed was more faith. I believe that every single person here today needs something from the Lord. Every single one of us could say, I need an increase in this area of my life. For the apostles at this time, they wanted an increase in faith. For many of you, it could be something else. It could be something different. But I believe that everyone, if you're true to yourself and honest with yourself, that you could say, I need an increase in certain area of my life. Maybe it could be an increase of power, an increase to overcome, an increase of your anointing, an increase in your family. Come on. Everybody needs some type of increase. Everybody needs some type of increase here today. And if you're honest with yourself here, we could all say, I am in a place just like the apostles found themselves in need of increase. Somebody say, I need increase. The thing about increase is that the Lord will put you in situations or in places that it requires you to ask him for the increase. I was telling the 9 a.m. service that when I came here, for the first time to pastor this church, I never pastored before. But I came here in a sense of, my God, you're putting me in a position and in a place that I literally have to cry out to the Lord to help me in my time of need and say, God, I need increase. Since I've been here these last 2 years, I've been praying, Lord, increase my wisdom. Lord, increase the anointing. Lord, increase my vision. I've been praying these prayers. Because I understand that I am in a place now that I need God to take me to the next level. Many of you here today, you're mad about your situation. You're upset that you're in your current situation, but I'm here to tell you, your current situation is only a setup for you to ask God for more increase. Whatever you're facing here today, it's okay. If you're in lack, it's all right. If you lack in a certain area in your life, it's okay. Because we have a God that can hear our prayers. A God that when we cry out to him and say, Lord, increase me, he'll say, I will. How many know the Lord will increase you? So if you need forgiveness, guess what? He's going to put you in a place. Oh, you ain't hearing me. He's going to put you in the place where you will get hurt again. So that you could develop forgiveness. Oh, you don't, that's a hard word, Pastor. Whatever you need in life, you're going to get placed back right into it so that you understand, I'm not going to stay here no more. I got to level up in my life. There's people that have been going through cycles in their lives because you don't understand that your current situation is only a setup for more increase. It's only a setup for you to go to the next level. Many of you are mad about it. Don't get mad. Just say, I'm in this position that God placed me here. I'm learning still, but I'm in a place where I could ask God, bring the increase. How many say, God, bring the increase? So the disciples found themselves in this place of need. I believe every single one of you are in a place of need. Whether you need more of God, whether you need more of His Spirit, whether you need more connection, whatever it is, we're all in this place. And I believe He wants to bring the increase within your life. Now, there's a few things that I've noticed about faith. When he says increase our faith, when you think about faith, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes by what, church? Hearing. And hearing the what? Word of Christ. The disciples said, I need faith. Stay with me. I need faith. When you read the book of Romans, it says that faith comes by what you hear, right? And what you hear should be the word of God. The word of God. Now, if you understand what the word of God is, the word of God is a seed. Somebody say it's a seed. Last week, I spoke out of Psalms 115, verse 12 to 15. And I want to read it once again. I believe that this is going to set you up for the increase. Psalms 115, verse 12, it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He has blessed us. He has blessed the house of Israel. He has blessed the house of Aaron. He has blessed those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you what? Oh, you come on, church, is it up there? May the Lord give you what? Increase more and more and more, right? You and your children may be blessed by the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He made the heavens and the earth. When I think about this scripture, how did God make the heavens and the earth? In the beginning, in Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord spoke, and as He spoke, let there be light. All of a sudden, there was. In other words, He could speak into the atmosphere, and all of a sudden, the word that comes out of His mouth, all of a sudden, produces something out of nothing. Isn't that awesome? You might look at yourself, and you might say, I'm nothing this morning. I ain't got a job, I ain't got this, I ain't got that, I ain't got it together, I'm still this, I'm still that. Well, that's okay. All you need is for God to speak a word into your life, and all of a sudden, whatever atmosphere is taking place in you, God can speak something out of nothing. I need somebody to catch this morning. I need you to slap your neighbor and say, wake up, because this is good. No, I'm serious. Just a good one. He could speak out of nothing. The Lord spoke it into existence. When He speaks to your life, even this morning, as He begins to speak to your life, you got to look at yourself and say, maybe it is not the right atmosphere, but as long as He's speaking to me, something could happen in my life. It's a seed. It's a seed. The seed has power. The seed has something. The Word of God is powerful. So I want to look at the seed for a moment because I started studying about this seed. And there's a couple things that I've noticed, and I want to share them with you. Is that okay? I promise you're going to be blessed. And we're talking about the Word of God, talking about it's a seed. So there's one thing that I noticed, number one, is that the seed is alive. It contains life. Now, a seed is alive. A seed has life in it. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't even taste the life in the seed. The only way the seed is able to prove it's alive is if you... Oh, you ain't with me. The only way a seed is able to prove to you and I that it has life, it's only if you plant it. The seed is alive. It contains life. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. It contains life. It has to be planted into our lives. If you're not planting the seed in your life, then my friend, the seed is useless to you. You could sit in church. You could be a part of church. You could love to worship. But if the seed's not being planted, it's just a waste of His breath. Too much for you? Number two, the seed does nothing unplanted. The seed does nothing unplanted. In other words, You could go to Home Depot and you can see all those packets of seeds. It does no good just sitting in a packet. An unplanted seed on a shelf is useless. Some of your seed has been on your shelf. You gotta blow the dust off your seed, right? And say, man, I gotta start planting the seed. The seed must be planted properly or placed properly in its place in order for it to produce. Are you with me? I believe that if we want to see the harvest, I believe that we got to start planting in that place, planting in our life. The other thing that I notice is that the seed is much smaller than the plant it produces. The seed is much smaller than the plant it produces. When you look at a seed, I have trees in the back of my yard. The trees didn't just show up one day and all of a sudden I produce lemons and grapefruits and all this stuff. Someone started somewhere with a seed and said, I'm putting the seed in this little container. If you've ever watched these things, there's small little containers like this big, about 12 of them in a row. They put seeds in there, put soil in there, and all of a sudden they let do its thing and it starts growing, and all of a sudden they see a little sprout coming in, and then from that sprout they put it into a bigger container, right? And then from that container, they let it grow a little bit more. Then they take it out of that container, go into a bigger container. Are you with me? Put it into a bigger container. And then from that container, you go into those gallon containers, 5-gallon containers. And then from those 5-gallon containers, then you put it in the soil of where you really want to plant it. And all of a sudden, this thing starts maturing. It starts growing. It starts taking root in its place. So what it does is from a small seed that is smaller than the plant it produces, my friend, something big is about to happen within your life. The problem you may be facing here this morning might be huge. But when you compare a scripture that's very small to your huge situation, when you understand the power of the scripture, when you understand the power of no weapon formed against me shall prosper, when you understand the power of God's word, that you are more than an overcomer, when you understand that you are more blessed and you're coming in than you're going out, so you start looking at God's word and saying there is power in God's word, all of a sudden you may look at a big situation and say, all I need is a small seed, and you will see what it produces in my big situation. You should give the Lord a good hand praise for that. The word of the Lord will grow in you and will overcome in any problem of your life. It will grow in you. The Bible says also that the seed always produces after its kind. An apple seed will produce what? Apples. An orange seed will produce what? Galatians 6:7 says this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. The seed always produces after its kind. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Whatever you put in, you will eventually take root and it's going to come out of you. If you sow unforgiveness, guess what? You're just going to be an unforgiving person. If you sow no mercy, guess what? When God comes and deal with you, you're going to get no. If you don't like nobody, keep sowing it. Eventually, nobody's going to like. Because whatever you sow, that is what you will reap. But if you begin to look at your life and say, man, if I need something in my life, I need to start sowing the scriptures relating to what I need. In other words, if I need love, I got to start looking at God's love letter and say, God, you do love me no matter what I look like. Come on. You got to start looking at God's word and say, man, I need this and I need that. Whatever you need, start finding scripture and apply scripture in your life, because I believe that that scripture inside of you is going to produce an abundance within your life. How many believe that? Those seeds will grow up inside of you and produce a harvest of whatever you desire, whatever you're looking for. It's going to produce something within your life. How many believe that? I believe that that seed wants to produce after its kind. Whatever you're looking for, start producing it. Start looking for the seed. If you need something, if you need the power of God, start looking for seed that talks about the power of God. Start sowing that. If you need a greater anointing, start looking at the anointing of God and what it takes to hold that anointing. Put it in there and say, I need it to produce something in my life. Are you with me? Somebody say, a seed is powerful. The seed is powerful. When you put a seed in the ground, what the seed begins to do, it begins to grow. In other words, it pushes past the dirt, pushes past rocks. It pushes against any obstacle that is in its way. I believe that the Word of God wants to do the same thing within our lives. It wants to push past every obstacle in your life. Whatever is trying to stop it, the Spirit of God wants to push through it and say, I'm not going to let it stop me from producing the fruit in my life. You could have obstacles this morning. How many got some trials? How many going through it? Just be honest.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Because whatever you're going through, find a seed and say, I'm taking this and I'm going to plant it in the middle of my storm. And I'm going to let the Word of God do what it has to do within my life. Some of us, we got to fall in love with the Word of God. You got to fall in love with the seed of God and say, man, I need more of God's Word in my life, because the seed is powerful. The seed will give you breakthroughs. The seed will help you through your storms. The seed will see you, will guide you. Come on, somebody. I believe that it's going to do that. The seed begins to grow in secret. Ooh, that's a good one. The seed begins to grow in secret. In other words, it grows underground. You know that, how many remember planting like those beans at school? How many remember that? Right? And you plant them in these clear jars. Clear cup, you know, you plant them in those clear cups. How many know what I'm talking about? You guys look lost this morning. I'm going to help you. I got to come down here because you guys all look lost. You're like, what is it? Where is it going? Don't trip. Just stay with me. The bean goes in the jar, right? And the reason why I believe you put them in those clear jars is because a lot of times with kids, they're impatient. How many impatient people we got in here? I am super impatient. Lord's still working on me. But we see it, and what happens is a lot of times we see what's happening in the clear jar, but when it's not clear, we think nothing's happening, right? We think, yeah, right, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening in my life. Nothing's taking place. But when you look at it in the clear, that clear jar or that clear cup, what happens is you see the roots go down first before it actually sprouts up. Right? And so in that same way, in the darkness of things, when you think nothing is actually happening, something is actually happening in the midst of you thinking nothing's happening. A lot of you here today might think nothing's happening, but the reason that you're here this morning is because something is happening. You might have just showed up and said, I'm just going to go today, whatever. I'm tired of her nagging me. I'm going to go, right? But you know what that shows me? That shows me something's happening. Something is happening. You may not sprout out and be like, hey, I'm here. But down in the secret place, something is happening. Underground, something is happening. Some of you are getting your footing underground. Your roots are taking ground. And so a lot of us, what we've got to understand is that sometimes we preach these words and we're giving these words out. You might say nothing is happening, but I'm here to tell you the word will never come back void. Something is happening. Something is taking place. Can somebody say amen? In those dark moments, something is happening. See, a lot of us get impatient. You know what happens when we get impatient? We start looking at it. We say, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. If you're like me, I'll start digging. nothing's happening in this cup. I can't see nothing taking place. So what happens is that we start digging the seed out, and when we rip the bean out, what happens is all of a sudden we rip the roots out, we took everything out, and now we lost the word. Ah, something was happening. And now you're trying to replant it. You just rip that whole thing out. Somebody say, it's happening. We get impatient. ¿Dónde estás, Dios? No me oyes, right? You don't hear me? It's happening. You just got to have faith and let it work. Let it take its time. Let it do what it's doing. Keep getting that word. Keep planting that word. Because in those secret places, God is working it for you. Can you give Jesus a great big hand for that? Okay. The seed begins to grow in the secret places. The seed takes time to produce. How many believe that seed takes time to produce? It takes time. You get a word, it takes time. You got to let the word of God just stay in there and let it do its thing. The seed is persistent. Somebody say it's persistent. When you plant a seed, it is persistent. In other words, the seed never gives up. It works day in and day out. When you go to bed, the seed is still working. When you go to wake up, the seed was working all night, and it's still working during the day. So what happens is that you got to look and say, God's word is persistent. When I put it in the right place and I put it in the right soil, it is persistent. In other words, it keeps working things out for me. It keeps working in my life. It keeps getting me to closer to the Lord. So what we got to look and say, God, help me not to dig that thing up. Let it do its course. Let it do what it's going to do, because the seed has power to produce something in your life. The Lord wants to bring a harvest within you. It won't stop working until it grows something inside of you. Isn't that awesome? That's what the seed does. The seed won't stop until it grows. The seed won't stop till it's fruitful. The seed won't give up. That is awesome to know that the word of God will never give up on us. That the word of God will never come back void. That the word of God is persistent. That's why he keeps chasing you down. That's why he keeps knocking at your door. That's why some of you came this morning, because he kept knocking on your door, right? That's why some of you didn't sleep all night, because he was knocking at your door telling you, you better get to church. The word keeps working. Even when you're asleep, he works. There's been times where I got full messages in my sleep. I'm like, the Holy Ghost is real. I woke up with two sermons one morning. I was like, hey, he's working. Those are the blessed days. I was telling Rich, I go, man, it's tough preaching every week to this crowd. I'm looking for anything. I'm looking for a joke. I'm looking for something. I'm just, what you got? What you got? What you got? Right? But there's some times where I go to bed and boy, the word's still working. I get points. I get everything. I get dreams. Yes. I'm good for the next 2 weeks, right? But I'm here to let you know that the word is working. Some of you dream about his word. Some of you are even within the last month or so, you've been thinking about his word. You've been thinking about visions. You've been thinking of, that means the word is still working. Isn't that awesome? The word is persistent. The seed will stop growing without proper nourishment. The seed will stop growing without proper nourishment. Even though you plant a seed, it is not enough to assure a harvest. It is not enough to assure the harvest. You got to be able to protect that harvest. You got to be able to nourish that harvest. You can't dig it up. That seed is not going to just produce all by itself. It has to be watered. The more seeds you plant, the more it's able to produce. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Bible says, but I say this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. How many want to be blessed beyond measure? I believe everybody wants this increase. Everybody wants to see ourselves in this level. And I believe that we have to look at ourselves and say, God, I want to sow more seed into my life. If you're not completely fruitful, I would say, how much of the Word of God have you placed within your heart? What are you planting here this morning? If you don't feel productive, if you don't feel fruitful, then my friend, the only way to be productive is finding the Word of God and saying, God, what is it your Word says about me? God, what is it? What do you think about me, God? What direction do you want in my life, God? When you start looking at life like that, all of a sudden you're going to start being fruitful in your life. Come on. Because you find what God has for you. Another thing I found is that the seed is perfect. There is nothing wrong with the seed. There is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is true. There is nothing wrong with the Word of God. So if God keeps sowing seed or throwing seed, then you got to figure out what's the problem then. Why am I not producing the way I should be producing? Joe, come to the keyboard. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says this. Israel is like a trained heifer trending out the grain. An easy job she loves. But I will put a heavy yoke on her tender neck. I will force Judah to pull the plow and Israel to break up the hard ground. I said, plant the good seed of righteousness, and you will produce, or you will harvest, a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. The Bible here is saying that what we should plant is seeds of righteousness. The seeds that are going to produce something good within our lives. And as we plant those seeds, that we're going to reap good things within our lives. But I like this second part. The Bible says that we should plow up the hard ground of your hearts. You know why I like that? Because we just talked about this seed, everything the power of the seed has. But the thing that the seed cannot do, the seed cannot penetrate if our hard hearts don't allow it. Many of us, we've allowed hurt to harden our hearts. We've allowed bitterness to harden our hearts. We've allowed so many things to harden our hearts. And when God starts speaking, many of us don't receive it because our hard hearts don't let it take root. You don't let it take root. How do you know you have a hard heart? Hard hearts don't worship. When you come into the house, you can't lift your hands because your hard heart won't allow you to. You can't open up and worship because your hard heart won't allow you to. Hard hearts don't lift their hands. Hard hearts, it's so hard to lift your hands. That's why people just. You don't feel nothing. You don't sense nothing. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You keep reaping. We come to church like this. I'm just coming. This is truth. And you come like this because someone hurt you. You come like this because you heard somebody say something about you. And now all of a sudden God can't speak to you because you're hard heart. You got in a fight with your husband, your wife. You come to church like this, like it's God's fault. Let's see if he could penetrate this. Oh, that brother's sitting there. I'm going to come over here. My daughter comes up. Lift your hands. God is moving. I ain't lifting my hands. She thinks she's all that. Come to the altar. I ain't going up there. Why should I go up there? Your heart is hard. Hard hearts don't give. Hard hearts don't understand giving. You don't understand the 90-day challenge because you have a hard heart. A soft heart says, I'm grateful, God, for everything you've done in my life. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to go into my pocket and give. Hard hearts don't experience the abundance. They don't experience the abundance. So what do we have to do? The Bible says that what we should do is break ground. What you and I should do, because the Word is perfect, the Word wants to do this, the Word wants to produce all this in your life. But our problem is our ground is too hard for it to take root. It won't take root in hard ground. It's not going to take root if you don't come to worship. It's not going to take root if you don't know how to give. It's not going to take root if you don't know how to break the ground in your heart. If you don't know how to forgive, guess what? It's never going to take root. He said, this is what you need to do. I supplied seed for the farmer, but it's your job to take care of the ground. A lot of us here today, we want God to take care of our ground. You want the pastor to come into your heart and start working in your heart. And let me help you. You want your leader to come in and help you with your ground. No, you got to work your own ground. You got to learn to say, man, I'm hard in this area and I need to break the ground right here. I need to learn how to lift my hands in worship, because in worship, God softens my heart. I need to learn how to go in prayer, because when I'm in prayer, He softens my heart. I need to learn how to say hi to people, because when I say hi to people, God softens my heart. I need to learn how to smile, because when I smile, God softens my heart. I need to learn how to hug on people, connect with people, invite people over my house, even when I don't feel like it, because it softens my heart. I need to learn how to go into the victory home and share a word with the brothers. Why? Because it softens my heart. I need to learn how to go into mission trips. I need to learn how to go to Ohio with my pastor so I could see the need, because it softens my heart. I need to go to our gang service, because when I go into the gang service, I see nothing but young people lost and hurting, and they need somebody in their lives. It softens my heart. I come to church and I see many of you, and my heart is broken. And I've learned how to keep a soft heart before God. If there's one thing I've learned, like David said, David learned how to guard his heart. In other words, he learned how to guard his soil. He learned how to guard his field. He said, above all things, I guard my heart. In other words, I am the one that guards what comes in and what comes out of this place. I'm here to tell you, if there's anything you hear, you better hear this. Because I feel like there's some people that don't understand that you are to guard your heart. Many of us, that means I gotta, you can't. That doesn't mean that. That means you guard it. That means you watch it, you protect it, you watch what's coming in, you watch what's going out. It doesn't mean I don't let nobody in. No, you just watch it. You know, there's these things that, you know, we have HOAs all over Arizona. And everybody's annoyed by it, because we got to pay people to come and, you know, spray and all this stuff. Why? Because weeds grow. But you know how weeds actually take root? When that wind comes, you know, when those monsoons come and storms come, what happens is this seed floats. And as the seed floats, it finds ground. Pay attention to me. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you. It finds ground. And when it finds ground, it will take root. And all of a sudden, from one day to the next, where all these weeds come from? What, my God, where all these weeds come from, right? And before you know it, these weeds are growing. You have a mess. You get fined. Because you weren't guarding your soil. In the same way, listen, the same way God throws seed into your life, it's up to you to say, okay, I want that seed in my garden. If I don't, then we're going to take that out. But in the very same way, these seeds float. Very same way, people have sown seeds into your life because you weren't guarding it. You weren't guarding your heart. You weren't guarding and protecting the soil of your heart. So when somebody said, I don't forgive you, threw that at you, all of a sudden you took it out and you said, okay then, I don't forgive you. When somebody threw a seed at you that didn't belong to you and you let it take root, all of a sudden you are exactly what they sowed into your life. You know, I had a pastor come tell me, I told the 9 a.m. service, pastor come told me, stand up, I got a word for you. I stood up, I got a word, word's coming. Right, I lift my hands, I said, okay, give me the word. They spoke a word over my life, I said, that ain't God. I said, uh-uh. You like, oh, because he's the pastor, he's going to give you a word and that's the word. No, I guard with all my heart what I'm going to let bring in to my soil. The word came, I didn't agree with it. I said, that ain't clicking, baby. Because if it's the word of God, it's going to click with my spirit because I've been in prayer. I've been in the Holy Ghost. I know what he sounds like, and that don't sound nothing like what he's been telling me. So I think you might be out of line a little bit. So I took the seed and said, that ain't mine. I hopped on in the car. I said, Carmen, this guy tried to give me this word. That ain't my word. She goes, no, I don't agree with it. I said, amen. We ain't going to water that one. Let's keep moving. I threw it out the window. I said, I didn't even let it take. In midair, I grabbed it and I threw it back at him. I called Pastor Tony. I said, Pastor Tony, I don't agree with that word. It wasn't him, by the way. It's another pastor. I said, I don't agree with that word. Later on, he started telling me, yeah, he was a little off. I said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. But imagine if we just let people speak into our lives, speak words and speak seed into us that don't even belong there. All of a sudden, we're producing things that don't even belong into our lives. Some of you need to take the words that your doctor said and throw it back at them. If the doctor diagnosed you with something, say, it may be here for a moment, but it's not taking root in my life. If somebody has said something about you that's causing you to shrink back, throw the word back at them and say, that don't belong in my heart. Because God's word is perfect. God's word will bring fruit. God's word will bring abundance. God's word is God's word. And that's what I need. I think there's some people here today that need to look in their hearts and say, man, I've been slipping. Man, I haven't shown up for work. Man, I haven't been tending my field. It's time for me to look in there and say, what is in there that don't belong in my field? I believe this is God's word for you. You need to look in there and say, man, I've been slipping. And somebody came and sowed a seed that don't belong there. I need to take that thing by the roots and throw it back out and say, not a part of my life, devil. You're not going to sow that seed in me. Unbelief's got to go. Fear's got to go. Doubt got to go. Insecurity's got to go because that's not a part of God's seed. Failure's got to go. Failure is got to go. That seed that you're not going to make it, that's got to go. That seed that your marriage is on the rocks, that's got to go. That seed that the enemy's been trying to tell you that your children won't make it, throw that thing back. You got to throw that thing back. Throw it back. I said, throw it back. I said, throw it back. You know, when you go out to these baseball games and the opponent that you're challenging hits a home run, you know what we do, Kyle? What do? If there's not the D-backs? That's right. We throw it back. We don't want to keep that. Why? That don't belong to us. Throw that thing back. That ain't on my home field. Everybody yells it, throw it back, throw it. And under pressure, people want to keep it. It's a game ball. People want to keep it. They're like, what do I do, man? I've seen people just launch that thing back into the field. You know, when you launch it back into the field, they're not going to throw it back at you. It's like, okay, I guess you don't want it, right? You missed your opportunity to have a game ball. Yeah, but that's not the game ball I wanted. That wasn't on the same team. I think I'm trying to help you understand that there's some things we want and there's some things we don't want. It's up to you to take root whatever you want and say, if this is God's field, then I want God's goodness in my life. Everything else is gonna get tossed out of here. Everything else is gotta go. Everything that's stopping me is gotta go. Everything that is hindering me is gotta go. It's time for increase in my life. It's time to see the harvest. It's time to see the power of God. It's gotta go. Some of you gotta go home and start taking things out of there. Worldly music is gotta go. Unholiness has got to go. All that stuff has got to go. If you want God to move, start tossing some stuff out the window. Open the window and say, this TV has been messing me up. It's got to go. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. Because some of those seeds you've been just watching. You've been watching seeds and the seeds are still coming. And we're like, ooh, I like that. Water. Stop letting that stuff in to your heart. Stop letting that in your garden. And say, above all things, I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to be on watch now. What is that? That ain't coming in here. Not in this house. I believe we have a church rising up that's going to tend the heart. I was going to watch the seed and saying, I'm ready for the good seed. I'm ready for God's power. I'm ready to produce a harvest. If that's you today, are you ready for increase? Are you ready for increase? Stop listening to the lies of the devil. Look into your heart and start taking stuff out. Lift your hands all over this place. Father, your Holy Spirit is here. It is moving. It is moving. It is moving. Father, right now we're looking into our hearts. Father, there's things in there, God, that don't belong in there. There's things in there, God, that the enemy has placed. We didn't even see them coming, but all of a sudden it's taking root. Today, God, we're pulling out anger. We're pulling out jealousy. We're pulling out, God, all the lust of this world, God. We're pulling out things, God, that don't belong in our hearts. Today is a day, God, where we take inventory, God, of our hearts. Father, we ask, God, that you move now. Holy Spirit is moving in this place. Holy Spirit is moving in this place. Jesus. Listen, if that's you here today, if you say, Pastor, I need this. I needed this word. I need to check this. I need to check what's inside because the word is perfect. And I've allowed things in my heart. I've allowed lies. I've allowed stuff to just dwell in there. It's time to get it out. It's time to get it out. And if that's you today, if you want to come and come before the presence of the Lord and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Search me, God. That's you. I want you to come out of your seat. I want you to come out of your seat. Come on. Come out of your seat. Come out of your seat.